Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are doing the Cup of Soup or Bowl beginning next Monday. We're going to be doing it Fadley's at Lexington Market beginning on Monday the 5th. It will be Super Bowl week. It will be a there will be a radio row in Las Vegas. This guy will not be there. I will not be there. We will be down at Fadley's, raising awareness for 100 different charities on behalf of the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. We're bringing it all together all week. It's going to be 40 hours of live radio. You think Jerry Lewis without the hat and I don't know without Ed McMahon? Luke Jones is my Ed McMahon. He'll be around at least for some portion of next week, at least to keep us on the air, keep the hamsters running in at AM 1570. It was a tough Sunday afternoon. I'm not gonna lie to you. I think the city. I don't know that I've ever seen the city as amped up as it was, because we've never seen an AFC Championship game. Never seen people paying $600, $700, $800, $900 to go to a football game on a cold, wet day, thinking there was going to be this jubilant celebration at the end of the game, thinking they were going to walk out of the stadium headed to the Super Bowl. That was the promise. That was the opportunity, I would say. But much like they found out in Detroit, Luke, sometimes opportunities come once in a lifetime. You know, like it was a it's a long, long road back to the AFC Championship game. I had Joe Flacco on last week. He would tell you after the Lee Evans and the Billy Cundiff, and I was in that locker room and rode that bus all night and had to do radio the next day. This one's a little different, but this one might sting even more because I don't know the next time they're promised an AFC Championship game at home and this sort of path and a bye and full health and this compliment of players. So we'll get to the players breaking up, but for now on a Sunday afternoon, they lost a big opportunity, man. I mean, this is going to be hard to recover from.
You used the word promised a couple times, and that's just it. Nothing's promised. And that's why a loss such as this one is that disappointing. I mean, this team was outstanding over the course of the 2023 regular season. I mean, whether you're talking about DVOA, point differential, I mean, they were 13-4, but really 13-3, knowing that they didn't even try in week 18, and they were in that position where they didn't have to. You have the MVP of the league. You have a defense that finished first in scoring, first in takeaways, first in sacks. I mean, just go down the list of everything that was great about this football team up until 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And to your point, looking at the set of circumstances, not just with the Ravens, because things change. You know, players are going to change. Coaches are going to change. I mean, that happens everywhere around the league, every single offseason. So it's not even so much as that, although that's certainly part of it. But I think you just look at the landscape of the entire AFC. I mean, Joe Burrow was hurt. The Bengals were a non-factor late in the year. Go down the list of other teams in the AFC. But we talked about this so much. The Kansas City Chiefs. I think back to Christmas Day, Nestor, how awful they looked in that loss to the Raiders. I think back to Christmas night when the Ravens established themselves as the best team in the NFL, beating the 49ers. And I'm thinking about how bad the Chiefs and the 49ers had to feel on Christmas Day at the end of business Christmas night, and how great the Ravens had to feel, and rightfully so, because of how they were playing at that point in time. And then what, 5 weeks later, those teams are playing in the Super Bowl and the Ravens are going home. Well, they are home, but staying home. So it's,
well, if the 49ers beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 2 weeks from now, we could say we beat the 49ers on Christmas night. Yeah, I remember you coming on the morning after Christmas and saying that better not be the highlight of your season. It better not be.
Well, I mean, it just, it's so disappointing for me. I don't know about you. This felt very 2006 playoff loss to the Colts. I mean, that's really what this felt like to me. And, you know, it's funny, as we were, you know, beginning our conversation, I had a chance to read Peter King, you know, the great Peter King, a friend of the program. But he made the comment that there's no shame in losing to Patrick Mahomes. And let's be clear, he's absolutely right. Okay, this isn't losing to the Titans in 2019. You know, this isn't what a loss to Houston last week would have been. Okay. It's not that. However, it's losing to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you couldn't break through this year, Not to say you won't in the future, but this goes back to what you were saying. All the circumstances setting up, including this being as unimpressive of a Chiefs team in the regular season as we've seen since Patrick Mahomes became the starter back in 2018. Mahomes is a year and a half older than Lamar Jackson. You know, this isn't the grizzled 37-year-old Tom Brady while you're hoping, okay, he's going to retire at some point, right? It's tough to look at this through the lens of, you know, and this isn't just the Ravens. This is the entire AFC. I guess the Bengals can take some heart in the fact that they're the one team that's, you know, been able to knock them off in the AFC Championship, not counting the Patriots, Mahomes' first year as a starter. But you look at it and you say, if it didn't happen this year with Lamar playing at the level at which he was playing, which was an MVP level, and they're not, you know, he's going to be the MVP. Don't take that away from him. The defense doing what they did after the first couple drives, you know, they shut out the Chiefs in the second half. Everything about this football team, including the roster depth and the coaching staff and all of that, and they couldn't get the job done this time around. You do ask the question, if not now, then when? And that's not to say that the Ravens window has shut. Far from it. They're going to continue to remain firmly in the mix in the AFC. But it's hard not to look at this and say, wow, this was a heck of a chance. I mean, you were the favorite. To your point, they had earned that AFC Championship home game. So, you know, it was bigger. The stakes were bigger than 2006 or January 2007 when Indianapolis came in here. But, you know, I'm not going to diminish the vibe and the enthusiasm and how hyped the city was then and how disappointing it was when you look at the fact that, much like they held Peyton Manning and the Colts to 5 field goals that day and lost. If you had told me before the game, Nestor, that the Ravens hold Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, even with it being a diminished offense compared to previous years, to 17 points, I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat. And I tell you, they're going to the Super Bowl. They scored 10 points. Their offense from Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken on down was not up to the challenge on Sunday. And it's going to be a long offseason as a result, because unlike 4 years ago, where I think it was so painfully clear that they had to grow as a passing offense, they were a pretty good passing offense. Could it get better? Absolutely. But they were playing, including their passing game, was firing at a high level, especially late in the season. I think it's more difficult going back to the drawing board now and saying, what do we need to do to get over the top against the Patriots? Freudian slip there. Because, again, like I said, that's what the Chiefs have become. But I think it's difficult. What is the biggest question mark for this team as far as what to address moving forward? I don't think it's anything that happens in the regular season whatsoever, Nestor. Like, at all. It's rising to the occasion in January and playing at a higher level and playing a more composed brand of football than we saw on Sunday. So that's a good thing, because you don't have to do major surgery or major operation on this roster or this football team, but that's an unnerving thing, because Kansas City's not going anywhere and you've got to figure out a way how to beat this football team. And for the Ravens to fail the way that they did on Sunday, boy, it is just extremely disappointing.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there in Owings Mills when they're cleaning out the lockers here this week. I don't know if we're going to hear from the owner. Why would we hear from the owner? He's a billionaire. I mean, I'm assuming we'll hear from Eric at some point. We're going to hear from John for more than 3 minutes and 49 seconds of sort of bitter disappointment and curt answers and all of that stuff that you do when you lose. Lamar and individual play and the interception and the fumble and the Zay Flowers, which was really unfortunate. You know, I mean, he was at the goal line. Then he apparently hits a table, according to Evan Washburn. The level of frustration, and I will go back to this, managing your head. You know, yeah. They lost the game in their head. They really did. They were not in control of their state, from the beginning, whether it was Justin Tucker having his tee thrown around by Kelce and those guys on their side of the field in the pre-part of the game. Tucker's a very unlikable guy if you're not in purple. A lot of people hate Justin Tucker. You know what I mean? The arrogance, the dancing, the chicken commercials, the coffee commercials for the coffee he doesn't drink. Like, all of that, he's the best in all that, but people hate Patrick Mahomes too, you know, so like it's fine, but it's a big game. They started it on the field. Mallette got into it with half the team. And I thought, it's not a good look at home. That's an amateur look. That looks like something that they're playing head games with you. They're champions, two-time champions. They lost one of these big games recently. A lot of the guys still on the team were around for that. I thought that the pregame chippiness was pretty manufactured by the Chiefs and pretty strong. And by the way, no one knows John Harbaugh better than Andy, better than Steve Spagnuolo, who at one point would have been identified as John's best friend. I don't know if John has a lot of friends he works a lot, makes a lot of money. He's been doing this a long time. He's not a big socialite in that way. Had some wrestling buddies here last week, too. I've actually talked about Pillman and those guys back in Cincinnati. But I think Spagnuolo's a close friend of his. That's my belief. And I think he and Dave Tobe are very close as well. And I know Dave Tobe a little bit, special teams coach, who probably would have been a hell of an NFL head coach had somebody given him a chance. I mean, he was that guy like John that could have gotten that job back in 2008, 9, and 10 when he was with the Bears. Dave Tobe was special. I mean, he coached Devin Hester, the whole deal. For me, those coaches said, let's rattle them. Let's go in there and pretend we're the home team. Let's talk at them. Let's get them off their game. And I don't know. It felt like it worked a little bit to me. It felt like Travis Kelce laughing while Kyle Van Noy's hitting him in the head and calling him a bitch. Like, I don't know. It felt to me like there was a lot of cool being lost at various points. And then there just weren't good decisions being made. Lamar throwing that football was not a good decision.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those factors that's really difficult to quantify in terms of what you talk about, the, you know, losing your cool, the intimidation factor that Kansas City very clearly was trying to exhibit. But
and did, by the way, and did.
Sure. No,
it was very successful. Whatever it was that they game was very successful.
I guess my point is, I'm not saying that's the determining factor in the game, but yeah, it was a factor. Sure. How much? It's hard to say, but you know, going back to what you said about Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, which, by the way, I saw a great fact, but I can't remember who it was, but they pointed out that you look at the 07 Patriots and this year's Ravens in terms of, you know, DVOA, point differential, all these different numbers that you can talk about in terms of being two of the greatest teams of all time that didn't win a Super Bowl. Steve Spagnuolo defenses shut them both down when it mattered most. I thought that was, you know, that was an astute point. I can't remember off the top of my head who made it, but they were outcoached. I mean, they were.
Yes, dramatically.
Let's call a spade a spade. Now, I credit the heck out of Mike McDonald for the adjustments that they made in the second half to completely shut down the Chiefs and to completely limit them. I mean, they blanked them in the second half.
Give a chance to win, really.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And again, that's why for me it felt so 2006-like in the fact that, I mean, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Suggs and Adalys Thomas and Haloti Ngata and Trevor Price, I mean, they held peak Peyton Manning to 5 field goals. I mean, again, going into that game, just like this game on Sunday, if you tell me that you're going to limit the Colts to 15 points or limit the Chiefs to 17, I'm signing up for that in blood, and I'm saying we're going to the Super Bowl. Now, the difference is that 2006 team, while the offense wasn't bad and it certainly improved from previous years under Kyle Bowler, that wasn't an outstanding offensive operation. They didn't have the MVP. Steve McNair wasn't the MVP of the league at that point in his career playing quarterback. So, but you look at Todd Monken, you look at the lack of composure at times for this football team in general. I mean, you mentioned
they went on a fourth down early in the game from their own side of the field where I was like, oh my God, this is the Titans and the Chargers. Well, I said to Jen, I'm like, if they don't make this, it's too early in the game for this gunslinger nonsense. But it felt to me like they were real lubed up. Like Clem Florio would always, I'll give you a little bit of my weird insights because I sit here and watch the games on TV and Zay Flowers runs out the back door without WNST getting the microphone in his face, because that's what happens when we have one person covering the team after so many years of having more people covering the team. But I'm sitting here watching the pregame show, which I never would have done had I been with you in the press box, right? Or had I been in the parking lot, or had it been normal, right? Had I still lived downtown, all of that. So I watched 2.5 hours of pregame. So I get to see all of that. They walk into the stadium and how they look and where they are. Boy, Zay Flowers and Lamar walked in waving to everybody, smiling. They looked really happy to be there. And the Chiefs showed up, sunglasses on, suits on, business, all, you know, no Taylor Swift, none of that. Just, we're going to go play football. And I thought to my wife, Clem Florio would always say, I don't bet on the horses until I see if they're sweating. And he would take his binoculars and he would look at the horses up in the press box over and he'd say, oh, he's sweating. He's ready to run. He's ready to run. I don't know. It felt to me from the very beginning, the fans, all of it, it's like the Chiefs have played this game on the road 100 times, and they haven't, right? I mean, they were on the road one time last week. They've been a home team the whole time. They really got off on this. They got off on that WWE bad guy, all that Taylor Swift, all that, we don't like Kelsey, we don't like Mahomes, we're sick of the Chiefs. The Patriots ate off of that for a long time at home, mainly at home. And I think the Chiefs believe if there's an AFC championship game next year, they'll be at home again because they didn't have a very good regular season, but here they are. I would just say this, really felt to me like to some degree the Ravens were self-confident, full of themselves at home. We're going to roll the ball out there. We beat everybody. We're going to beat this team. Chiefs aren't as good as they used to be. And the Chiefs showed up and dare I say, show the heart of a champion. I mean, they've gone on the road 2 weeks in a row, and they've beaten Josh Allen and Lamar, Mr. MVP, Mr. Everything, Mr. I'm gonna, and Mahomes is like, you forget, I am the Tom Brady. You talk bad about me on Christmas Day, and my team didn't look too good, and I've gotten all the money, and we've lost. Name the players. Tariq Hill. Just go through the list of the players they don't have around there anymore. But he's Patrick Mahomes, and we're not. That this is another real serious problem for Lamar is that Patrick Mahomes is now in his head and they're in, you know, we felt that way 3-4 years ago when he's Jedi-ing and he's young and good. And we're like, well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Well, this was the get there moment and we didn't get there. And I really feel like a whole evaluation of everything that happened on Sunday in regard to them not being good enough. And it's hard to be, they lost by a touchdown when Zay Flowers had the ball at 8 inches from the goal line. Like, this game was there. They didn't get their ass kicked. They got their feelings hurt.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating about this, though. I mean, let's be clear. We've been talking about the Ravens needing to take the step forward, the proverbial step forward as it pertains to January and all that. And they did, by the way. But here's the problem. Their step forward put them right side by side with the Buffalo Bills, not being able to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in January. I mean, ask the Bills. I even mentioned it at some point over the course of the week in writing at BaltimorePositive.com. The Bills would be the first to tell you, you want Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, be careful what you wish for, because we've gotten our feelings hurt multiple times, including last week, and now the Ravens are right there with them.
Well, the Chiefs put everybody to sleep by losing to the Lions on the opening night, by never really picking it up, by not finding themselves. Yeah. Christmas Day, we all watch them get their ass kicked. Everybody watched that, right? And watch the Ravens coronate and go out to San Francisco and take their lunch money. And I'll say this to anybody that listens to this program for 32 years now in every Ravens season. Be careful judging football teams in October or November or December. And to your point, the Chiefs were awful. Joe Flacco was planking against Denver, getting their ass kicked. I had Stokely on last week. Stokely's like, we went into Baltimore and beat their ass in December. There was no thought they were going to come out here and run us into double overtime and beat us when it's 5 degrees outside. There was no thought that was going to happen because last month equals this month. Past never equals the future. Never.
Yeah, and that's why this is so frustrating. One, yes, I mean, that lesson applies every single year. I mean, the 2012 Ravens, the 2000 Ravens, my goodness, they went five. I realized 23 years ago was a lifetime ago in terms of football years in the NFL. It might as well be 100 years ago with how much the game has changed. But they went five straight games without a touchdown, and they won the Super Bowl that same year. I mean, like, it's such a – it's a lesson we all should know by now. Not not specifically here in Baltimore, in general, of how much things change. We say it every year. We say it every week. It's a week-to-week league, and yet we still fall for it. And when I say we, just as football observers, fans, media, whatever.
We fall for it with horses, too. He said that horse won the last three races. He's going to win this one. No, sure. It doesn't work that way.
Well,
it doesn't work that way.
It does work that way sometimes, but not always, right?
We still have to go play the game. You have to go execute for 60 minutes and not make mistakes this week based on what you did last week, you know?
And this is where it's so difficult because, again, I'll come back to, and, you know, this sounds like it's a cop-out, but it's not. Patrick Mahomes, from the moment he became the starter in Kansas City, sat behind Alex Smith for a full year. You know, it was basically what the Ravens had in mind with Lamar behind Flacco, except Joe got hurt midway through the year and they were going nowhere. And they thought, hey, we're going to try this. And it's worked out pretty darn well in the regular season. I mean, extraordinarily well in the regular season. But Mahomes this has been what they've done every year. I mean, you mentioned they hadn't done this on the road, and you're right. I mean, they embraced the villain. And how much of a factor was that at the end of the day? I don't know how to quantify it, but it was a factor.
I think Travis Kelce gets off on it. I think Mahomes gets off on it. I really do.
Put Mahomes aside. I mean, Travis Kelce, that was vintage Travis Kelce. He didn't look like that all year. I mean, even early in the playoffs, you know, he had some drops in the Miami game where you're
Dude,
just looking
at him. Dude, these are brothers going to the Hall of Fame now. They're both going to the Hall of Fame.
I mean, Kelce, that's been a slam dunk or Travis Kelce. It's been a slam dunk with his greatness at tight end. And yeah, I mean, Jason with his longevity, it'd be tough to, he'll wait, you know, Travis Kelce will be a first ballot guy. Jason Kelce probably will wait a couple years. Cause that's typically, especially interior linemen, but yeah, you're right. But he was outstanding. I mean, 11 catches on 11 targets, 116 yards, a touchdown. I mean, the fourth down catch, just the touchdown. I mean, Hamilton's coverage was as good as you could possibly expect someone's to be. It was a perfect throw and a great catch. But this goes back to Mahomes, where even with the Ravens making the adjustments that they did and completely shutting them out in the second half, Mahomes didn't make a single mistake. Did not throw it to the other team. You know, did not cough up the football. Even when they limited him, he did not make the fatal mistake. Whereas Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers and some of these inopportune penalties, I mean, the Ravens did things to beat themselves. And I mean, that is, you know, there's winning football games and there's not losing football games. And I think the Chiefs, their offense certainly played to win in the first half and scored touchdowns on their first two drives. But in the second half, they didn't lose the football game. And when you had a Ravens offense that, as I said, from Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken on down, whether you want to talk about the run-pass ratio, Lamar missing receivers, you know, throw into triple coverage in the end zone, penalties, you know, go down the list. You know, Zay Flowers which, by the way, L'Jarius Sneed, that's an all-time great football play that he made right there as well. I mean,
it's a season-saving play. I
mean,
it's a
phenomenal
football
play.
We're still playing football at 17-17 right now. And Mahomes, and then they were going to have to play defense on Mahomes the rest of the way. Like, it never came to that. But, I mean, we're going to sit here and cry in our beer and feel like you got your ass kicked. And they did. They got their ass kicked. They got embarrassed. They lost. But
they lost by seven. But they lost.
Play,
they still...
That play, that's an unbelievable football play. I agree with you. And that's an all-timer. I mean, to put a team into a Super Bowl, to punch that ball out, that's Ernest Biner at the goal line. That's crazy stuff. It really is.
Yeah. And look, that's not to absolve Zay Flowers. I mean, look, I can tell you first, he's the guy that feels the worst about that. I mean, Zay Flowers, this kid had a really, really good rookie season. I mean, he had over 100 receiving yards. He's the only receiver who did anything for them other than what, Aguilar's catch and run. You know, Zay Flowers
caught a couple of balls at the end. I mean, you know.
But, you know, I mean, it comes down to, you know, you got to make the championship plays. And if that had been Kyle Hamilton or Marlon Humphrey or Brandon Stevens knocking that ball out at the goal line, my goodness, we'd be talking about that. And that'd be going down in Ravens lore already, regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl. Sneed made a great play. Zay Flowers did not make a great play there. I mean, I hate to be flippant about it, but the other team tries too. And that other team just happens to be the defending champion and the team that's been to six straight AFC championship games and they've won four of them now, and they've been to four of the last five Super Bowls. That's why this is sobering to me, not just for the Ravens, but the rest of the AFC. I mean, this was the Chiefs on a down year, and they still got there. So if you're Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken and Mike McDonald, if he's still here by the end of the week, you know, based on some of the rumors and reporting and the interviews that are still to be had for him as a head coach, you're asking, what's it going to take to beat these guys? Because like I said, at least with Brady, it got to a certain point. Even by the time by the time the Ravens in the Flacco era were going up to Foxborough, back-to-back years in the AFC Championship, you know, Brady had been in the league 11 or 12 years at that point. And what, year 13, I guess, was the 2012 postseason for him.
We're only 6 years into this Mahomes thing.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's a year and a half older than Lamar. He's not going anywhere. Now, okay, Andy Reid's probably going to retire at some point in the not too distant future. You know, I don't think he's going to be around another 12 or 13 years as their head coach, but Mahomes isn't going anywhere. And if you couldn't do it this year, when they appeared as vulnerable as they did, even with their defense being at their, you know, the best Kansas City defense we've seen in a while, it's just so tough. Because again, this football team, meaning the Ravens, they were so darn good over the course of the season that it's not as simple as 19, where as great as they were that year, it was clear they still had a lot of growing to do from a passing game standpoint. Can their passing game get better? Yeah. And by the way, I still think an offseason objective is going to be, you need to find another receiver, because I don't think Beckham's going to be back, and certainly not at $15 million. And while I like Nelson Aguilar, he's more of a number three or number four kind of wide receiver. Rashad Bateman and Lamar Jackson just aren't on the same page and haven't been all year. And I just don't know how you can point to that as getting better. They still need another wide receiver. Zay Flowers, check. No doubt about it. I think he's going to be a really good football player, regardless of what happens Sunday. But I can point to that. I can point to left tackle. Ronnie Stanley's the one who got beat on the strip sack. We've been talking about that. They've got to find their left tackle of the future, even if that means Stanley one more year and that guy pulls a Jonathan Ogden for a year and plays guard or right tackle for his rookie season. But
they're going to have to figure Marlon Humphrey out too. He's making a lot of money, and they got to figure out whether he's Jimmy Smith or whether he's going to come back and be able to play at that kind of level. And that's something with Ronnie Stanley that they gave him opportunity after opportunity to get out there. They had so much money invested in him. This is the other side of giving somebody a lot of money. You give Roquan Smith a lot of money, you feel really good about it for now. I mean, and certainly the first year and a half, great. But that is the investment part of this that is tough in football.
Well, all of these investments, it begins with the fact that you now have a quarterback in the top bracket, right? I mean, and that's, look, Lamar Jackson is worth every penny, but when you have that quarterback at the top with your salary,
your running back's going to be Keaton Mitchell.
You're going to have to make some, right? And that's why, again, not to belabor the point, but it's part of it. I mean, the roster depth they had this year, the fact that they did not have that many injuries, and I get it, Mark Andrews, it was clear, you know, Mark Andrews, as I said all week, I mean, the talk that around town that people were going nuts about two tight end sets and likely an Andrews on the field at the same time, I was just saying, pump your brakes. I mean, Mark Andrews just had surgery 2 months ago. The fact that he's even playing is great, but what can you really expect? And I think that played out. I mean, we saw him at times, you know, he caught a couple balls, but overall, you know, it wasn't Mark Andrews, and understandably so. I mean, if he could contribute and give you a couple catches, then great. You know, he was an upgrade over Charlie Kohler, I guess, right? I mean, but you know, you just look at this team, it's not their last chance, and any talk about the window or anything, you know, that's all baloney. I mean, they're going to continue to be there in the mix in the AFC. When you have a healthy and upright Lamar Jackson, they have been there every single year when he is healthy and upright. But you look at all the other circumstances, gosh, it's tough not to look at this and say, this feels like their best chance for a while.
Yeah, they're going to be a diminished team next year.
Yeah.
To some degree.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because – and again, this sounds a little flippant, but This team hasn't done well being the number one seed and being the favorite and being the team that you think is the best in the NFL. Maybe the answer for these guys is to have a year where things aren't quite going as swimmingly in the regular season. And maybe they're...
You want to pack the bus to Buffalo next year? Is that really what you want
to
do?
Maybe that's what they have to do. I mean, hey, Kansas City was able to do it. They did Buffalo and Baltimore, which are widely regarded as two of the toughest, you know, other than Arrowhead.
You can see Canada from there.
Right, right. But... I don't know. I mean, I mean, look at the 2011 Ravens compared to the 2012. 2011 was a better team by a lot. 2012, I mean, that team was more of a headache than anything in the regular season resembling something special. And we saw what happened. So it's back to the drawing board. It's incredibly frustrating because, again, doesn't feel like there's like this easy fix, right? But they just weren't good enough. And if it wasn't obvious already, it is painfully obvious at this point that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are absolutely the new Tom Brady and the Patriots. And it's tough beating those guys. At the end of the day, it's really tough beating those guys. And the Ravens learned that the hard way on Sunday.
Did you see Taylor Swift or no?
I did not see her. I saw her on TV like everyone else, but no.
You don't know
not.
Where she was even sitting, is what you're telling me. No?
I don't. She did not walk through the media dining line, if that's what you're asking.
Avoiding Jerry Coleman, no doubt about it. He is Luke Jones. Luke at WNST.net, the way to find him. The way to find me, NestedBaltimorePositive.com. I mean, it's very, very easy. We had planned a Radio Row week next week called Crab Cake Row, a Cup of Super Bowl. We're still doing that for sure. 100 charities, all of it for the Maryland Food Bank. So we're going to have a cold week around here next week. If you want to do something fun, get out a little bit, come say hello. We're going to be at Fadley's all day Monday. We're going to be at Costas all day Tuesday. We're going to be at Coco's all day Wednesday. We're going to be at State Fair in Catonsville all day Thursday, and then we're going to end things at Pappas on Friday. Luke, I had these visions at Pappas of just being mobbed in a sea of purple all day and getting ready. Like I have not fully come to terms with whatever this hangover is going to be, because we all wanted to play an AFC championship game at home. I don't think we envisioned losing it. So yeah. The sitting in, you know, it hasn't sunk in yet. They haven't cleaned lockers out. Luke will be out there this week. If there's any breaking news, you'll get it first on the WNSD Tech Service. All of our Crab Cake Row coverage brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Maryland Lottery's fresh scratch-offs to give away all day, every day, all next week. So come out and win something. And you get a free cup of soup or bowl of soup if you come out and donate to the Maryland Food Bank at any point next week. So come on out, spend a little time with us next week. I'll be encouraging people to do that all week long. I'm going to drag Luke's ass out because he ain't got nothing to do. He ain't Vegas, you know, betting a hard eight, you know. But we'll be around all next week. We're trying to wash this out and talk it out and feel it out. I know the Ravens were eliminated late at night on Sunday because I saw my inbox. Everyone that's drunk and angry and they can't yell at Pichotti or yell at Lamar, they yell at me. I'm humbled and appreciative. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive, even when it hurts.